when we were dealing with the voluntary admission, it was something Representative Ford was talking about.
I think her concern was that we state voluntary admission and treatment to a treatment facility, but I believe our later discussion as to the definition and the rule that would apply for admission took care of that concern.
Oh, I just couldn't remember whether she made a motion or not. That's
no, she, as I recall, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Gold.
To confirm Mr. Chair's comment, my understanding was that Representative Ford felt that that was taken care of by the statement of intent that was described.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Have we adopted that?
No, we have not. Is there any further discussion on the motion to adopt the amendments as amended? Is there any objection? They're adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
I move House Bill 2467 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair.
As amended.
Let me place the motion. Representative Hanlon moves House Bill 2467 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. And it is understood that our amendments here will be reviewed by Legislative Council to ensure that form and style and any problems there are adequately addressed.
Representative Johnson. I'm not comfortable with what we have before us. It's not a compelling, overwhelming issue as I see it, but I do believe that we'll find ourselves back dealing with this issue in subsequent sections, subsequent sessions as a result. I've come to conclude after hearing the testimony that what we really should be doing is adopting the SAFE amendments, because I don't happen to concur that deinstitutionalization issue has anything to do with the issue whether you're in this bill or whether you're mentally competent. What we've dealt with here is a set of standards that deal with admission or commitment, and it doesn't have anything to do with local treatment or anything else, and I think it's an incidental. I'm not going to vote for the bill.
Okay, any further comment or discussion on the motion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bergiotti?
Nope.
DeBoer?
Aye.
Ford?
Aye.
Gold?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Leek?
Aye.
Shubrak?
Aye.
Chairman Freeman?
Aye. Motion's adopted. We will...
Mr. Chairman, may I explain?
Yes. Representative Ford.
I do support this kind of an extension, but I would have much preferred the SAFE amendments, and I would have much preferred the 60-day limit after competency is resumed.
Thank you. We will confirm.
I guess I should go ahead and say I second that.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Ford. Thank you, Representative DeBoer. We shall confer with Representative Katz and inquire if she desires to carry the bill and so inform. And if there's any reason she does not, or we will designate someone else to do so. I believe Representative Gold has volunteered for that. Thank you. Representative Hanlon, next bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 2473, employer liability to injured employee for removal of safety device. The committee adapted my amendments of April 27th, 1983, after some long discussion, and moved it without a recommendation to this committee. This is in the nature of a report. My amendments delete the original removal of safety device exception, and in lieu of that, insert into the record or into 656.018 the words results from the deliberate intention to produce such injury. The purpose of my amendments are twofold. Number one, to make our statute in 018 consistent with our statute in 156, where there is separate language that is not presently consistent in the exemption statute. And number two, to adapt the Mangalus West Virginia 1978 Supreme Court interpretation of what the words deliberate intention to produce such injury mean. It was fairly clear when this was discussed that the amendments, as I have specifically proposed them, do not adequately do the job, and I am working on further amendments to get that across adequately and legally into the records here.
Do I understand you say you want some additional time to consider further amendments?
Well, that's correct.
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
It was one of the more interesting bills that we had to deal with. It created quite a degree of interest in that Mr. Mannix, who was the attorney involved as Assistant Attorney General, who was involved with the Fred Meyer case involving the one described that we had that precipitated this bill, and the now that he happens to be a defendant's attorney, his view is very interesting. It changed a bit.
Okay. Let me ask first, Mr. Nash, you've been very patient sitting through our proceedings this morning. Is it correct you and Representative Hanlon have had a chance to discuss the amendment and the need for further clarifying language?
Well, of course, I unfortunately submitted a different amendment, and I confess that my own impression of the political process is that my much narrower worded amendment has a far more likely chance of avoiding some of the problems that one might anticipate from the insurance industry and the associated organization. Because all I am trying to do when I came down here and when I've been suggesting this amendment was to provide that an employee could sue his employer if that employer made the affirmative act of actually removing a safe supply, and then the employee was subsequently injured in exactly the manner that would have been prevented had the safety device been present. The bill, as suggested by Mr. Hanlon, is quite a revolution in that it would include the negligence of an employer. For instance, in the Oregon case where the truck driver was told to drive down the hill with no brakes, the employer had not removed the brakes. He knew there were no brakes on the truck. The truck quite naturally went off the cliff, and the employer was killed, and his widow sought to sue the employer. Under my bill, the one that I am suggesting, I don't mean to say my bill, but the one I'm suggesting, the employer would still not be liable because he did not cut the brake line. In the Mr. Chung's case, of course, a safety device was actually removed by a foreman, and then he was injured in exactly the manner it would have been prevented. I think that's a much narrower group of people to be involved, and in fact, a much easier to prove. There is another case in Oregon where a sawmill had a whole line with these rollers where boards roll along, and one of them had fallen off and wasn't any longer there, leaving a gap. The board would hit it and flip over. And one employee was injured three times in a row within a six-month period. And he kept complaining to his employer, who said, cheaper to fix your arm than it is to fix the roller. Third time he got injured, he broke his arm again. He sued the employer. And the Oregon Supreme Court said, you can't do that because the employer didn't remove the roller. And secondly, even if he had, he couldn't prove he really intended to hurt you. The mere fact that he's been hurt twice might help, but it isn't enough. My bill still would not reach that issue either, because the employer did not go out and take the roller out. All I'm trying to get at is the very limited area of cases where an employer physically has removed a safety device that exists on the machine. It seems a very narrow area, but on which about 10 people are probably seriously injured in Oregon every year. And I think it's one that could pass, whereas one that opens up gross negligence, that is not responding to known defects that have occurred through age, accident, or whatever. That's a much bigger group of people that would be affected, and I think we would really have an insurmountable task of overcoming opposition.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Nash. We will, if and when scheduled for an additional work session, we'll allow you certainly an opportunity to comment further in writing, and want to thank you for your time this morning coming down. Thank you. Okay, we'll be carrying over 2473. Representative Hanlon?
Mr. Chairman, we have 2700 with amendments of the Oregon State Firefighters Council engrossed by staff April 19th, 1983. Your subcommittee adopted those amendments and passed the bill on to the main committee with a 2-to-1 vote, do pass recommendation. What that does is it raises the burden from the present preponderance of the evidence burden to a clear and convincing burden on the employer to disprove the cause of the condition under this particular statute. That is the net effect of this particular bill.
Representative Johnson.
My reason for not voting for the amendments are that what we have done is, first, there's no convincing case been stated that there's even a need for the bill. I have not heard anyone of the proponents present any testimony that indicates that anybody has been abused because of the current statutes. All that we have heard is that there have been efforts to abuse the system, and that employers the courts have not allowed that to occur. And so I feel that what we are doing is taking an issue in which the standard is probably just the majority of the proof to one that says that beyond at least 80% of the evidence given has to show that the employer has to prove at least by 80% of the evidence given that this isn't the cause, or else it would be automatically the case. The fact that "or other" is removed also concerns me, in that other evidence may very well need to be presented. I think what we've done is just open the door to the system in a way that would allow some of the abuses that we obviously had to occur, rather than let each case stand on its own. I just cannot believe that this is a useful bill, that there's even a need. There's not been one case presented to us that indicates there's a need.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Hamlin.
Two things. Number one, the fiscal statement in your packet is no longer accurate, and it would seem the fiscal impact would be lesser than the one in your packet, because that was based on a conclusive presumption. Number two, Representative Johnson says at least 80%. We have had no testimony, to my knowledge, regarding that standard, and I think that he is way off base in quoting those percentages before this committee. Clear and convincing standard is a standard higher than the preponderance and lower than the criminal beyond a reasonable doubt, and that's as clear as it is, and I haven't heard the terms 80%. I am sure that that is not a correct interpretation overall, even if those figures have come up in testimony before this committee.
Okay.
One last brief comment.
Yes,
I intend to ask, and have asked, the Attorney General to provide us, at least for my personal part, an interpretation of what this clear and convincing evidence issue, what it means. And in a casual conversation across a drink, I will tell you that he said it's in the neighborhood of 75% to 80%.
Okay, I will. I think I and all of us will look forward to hearing from the Attorney General, be it across a drink or in writing, on that issue.
I've met him in the hallways.
Okay. Representative Hamlin moves the amendments to House Bill 2700 bearing the date April 19th, 1983. Those are incorporated in a hand engrossed copy of the bill, which has been included in the bill files. Is there further discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
This is the only amendments.
On the amendments.
Pardon?
This is on the amendments.
On the amendments.
I didn't hear. Did you call my name?
Yes.
Aye.
Gold?
Aye.
Hamlin?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Lee?
Aye.
Shifrat?
Aye.
Bujati?
Aye.
Chairman Springer?
Aye. It's adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hamlin.
Mr. Chair, move
Excuse
the
me.
Bill.
Representative Ford, move House Bill 2700 to the floor as amended with the due pass
recommendation. My name is Gold.
I'm sorry. I have three people talking to me at the same time. Excuse me, Representative Gold.
Thank
Excuse
you.
Excuse me, Representative Ford. Representative Gold moves House Bill 2700 to the floor with a recommendation to pass as amended. Is there further discussion?
One qualifier.
Yes, Representative DeBoer.
The way I vote in committee today may not hold me. I may not vote the same way on the floor if the Attorney General comes out and says that clear and convincing evidence is something different than what I perceive it as today. Okay?
Ditto.
Representative Bajali is recorded as ditto.
Ditto.
Representative Ford is recorded as ditto.
Ditto right out of there.
Okay. If there's no further comment or discussion, the clerk will call the roll on Representative Gold's motion.
Representative Ford?
Aye.
Gold?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Leek?
Aye.
Shipwreck?
Aye.
Brizotti?
No.
DeBoer?
Aye.
Chairman Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Johnson served notice of possible minority report. Representative Hanlon?
I'd like to volunteer to carry it.
Okay, we will confer with Representative Whalen as well, sure, as the prime sponsor.
I would like to explain my vote.
Yes.
I know there's a problem because I have two sons that are serving as firefighters. I'm not sure that this is the way we need to go on it. I guess that's why I'm going to confer.
Thank you, Representative Brigiotti. Any further questions or comments? Any further business to be brought before the committee? If not, we're adjourned. We're needed for a quorum.